All right, Friday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in the mighty name of Jesus. Let me see who is in the Rumble chat tonight. Scooter Magruder is on. Big Joe, Big Jim Go Blue is on. Lady Vu is on. Braden McGroy is on. Agravain is on. Robin Aroney is on. USA Abbey Girl is on. Judy Anita is on. Richard Perry's on. Granite 2468 is on. General Plowman is on. JD Joy is on. 1961 Kid is on. Ever Eden is on. Mike Griffith is on. Johnny F62 is on. Mark 1069 is on. Dead Plan is on. TJT1 is on. Let me see here. Kansas Law Dog is on. Guitar Glenn is on. Golf Master 1 is on. PD Frank is on. 11 Carl 11 is on. Sparky 8142 is on. Veronica 18201 is on. Hanslick Donovan is on. Let me see here. K4 VMS is on. Jim Brody's on. Snarl Barkley is on. Those Jesus People is on. JBC 2020 is on. Lou Ann 5 is on. The one and only Clean Sanchez is on. Stephan Toms is on. Nate Dad 1 is on. Let me see here. Motorcycle is on. Biggie 92678 is on. Let me see here. Scrolling down. Just make sure I didn't miss anybody. Milwaukee James is on. Patriot of the North is on. Let me see. Let me give me one or two more here before we get to 60 Minutes of Fury. Deucey Club is on. Let me get one more. Let me find one more on here. Charlie 340 is on. Love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you. Before we get to anything, you know, we have the news. Not a whole lot to report on. It's why I didn't do any slides on it. But we have Trump moving our nuclear submarines closer to Russia. That's always good news, isn't it? You know why that is? Slava Ukraine, baby. Slava Ukraine. Let's risk the entire world over two Slavic nations who love to fight each other. Just like let's bomb Iran over two nations who love to fight each other. Let's do that. Let's involve ourselves in every last fight in the world instead of sitting back, not necessarily in economic isolationism, but definitely geopolitical isolationism. No problem whatsoever with that. You know why? Because there's people who want to fight. If you watch this podcast all the time, you know that I espouse this all the time because it's actually true. I mean, let's look at here in our hemisphere, shall we? All the way from South, Central, North America. Let's just look at our hemisphere. Who fights each other here? Nobody. Really? It's I mean, you have internal conflicts, you know, but, you know, different revolutions or whatever it may be. But other than that, you know, back in El Salvador, we had an internal revolution. One or two others, can't remember now. It goes back to the 80s. But anyway, nobody. But here's the thing. You know what you don't do? Go get involved in other people's revolutions. You don't get involved in one African state fighting another. You have one African state right now. Can't remember which one it is, but maybe Ghana. I'm not sure which one. But anyway, they actually have two different civil wars going on. I mean, that's actually true. They had North, basically, just to make it easy, North versus South. Then the South started fighting itself, and then the North started fighting itself. So they have two separate civil wars going on. You know how many U.S. troops we should send there? Absolutely none. Just like we should not be in any way, shape, or form involved in Ukraine, which, by the way, the only reason why there is a Ukraine war is because NATO instigated the entire thing. And Aaron and I put the map up 3-4 times already, how it was sworn to Vladimir Putin, to the Russian leadership, that we would not encroach eastward any further as NATO. And we encroached 11 more countries closer to Russia. Every last one of them encroaching close to Russia. So they're trying to get a demilitarized zone in the breakout provinces, Luhansk and Donetsk, which, by the way, Ukraine itself was bombing in 2014. Yes, bombing their own country in 2014. Right time that we did the color revolution there, instigated by the same people instigating this war. Exact same people instigating the war instigated the color revolution, which led to Ukraine bombing itself, because that's what these people want. They want bombs flying so they personally get enriched. That's what they want. And we see how all this enrichment works. No, nobody's writing, you know, Lindsey Graham a check from Honeywell or Lockheed Martin. It simply goes to NGOs that fund his campaign, fund companies that he's involved with. J.B. Pritzker owns 29 NGOs. The multi-billionaire governor of the state of Illinois owns 29, runs 29 NGOs. So was he a billionaire before the NGOs, or did the NGOs make him a billionaire? And this is the whole thing. And so you and I are on the cusp of a nuclear war because, and I don't believe there's going to be a nuclear war. I'm just saying that, that strategically speaking, that's where we're at. We're on the cusp of a nuclear war because Lindsey Graham and Mike Pompeo want to get checks out of Ukraine. You remember Mike Pompeo from last night, who put together a nice little audit office for pencil neck Schiff in the CIA so he could get classified documents out of the CIA without it actually going to the Intel Committee. Wait, Mike Pompeo's a Republican. He was going to run for the Republican nomination for president. Yeah, right. There is no such thing. Slava Ukraine, Russia good, Russia bad, Ukraine good, Israel good, Gaza bad. All that doesn't exist, folks. It doesn't exist. It does. Do I wish it existed? Yes, I wish. World War II was a con. World War I was a con. Vietnam was a con. Korea was a con. Global warming is a con. COVID's a con. Everything that you see is a con. Everything. For other people, for globalist leftists, which includes Republicans, they're basically every Republican. It's not like you and me. That's on Capitol Hill is actually center left. That's who they are. Notice that's how they all vote. The leader of the Senate, our majority leader, John Thune, votes with Chuck Schumer 50% of the time. Rand Paul votes Republican 93% of the time. Mike Lee, 96-95% of the time. That's who should be our leaders. But somehow our leader is John Thune because most of the Republicans are him, center leftists. So they vote in their own. The majority would have to vote for the guy. Why wouldn't they vote in Mike Lee? Because the majority doesn't want Mike Lee because Mike Lee is actually conservative. So they vote in who they really are, which is center left globalist bourgeois elitist. That's why we're always exactly where we are, on the cusp of another war every single time. No matter who's president, here we are again. And by the way, Trump can't get us out of this conflict. He can't, because you know why? You know why? Because Russians love to fight Ukrainians and Ukrainians love to fight Russians. That's what's going to happen. It's been a Slavic war going on there. And before that, what was it? Bosnia and Kosovo. This is another Slavic conflict. They want to fight. Let them fight. Again, I just use this and I'll move on to something else. But how many of you get involved in fights inside of your family? Cousin A is fighting with Aunt C. Do you get involved? No, I don't. I'm not getting involved in any of that. You know why? They want to fight. They want to fight. Let them fight. It's not my business. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs. I'm not going to sit there and involve myself in a fight that doesn't belong to me. The second story that I'm not going to get to a slide to is Kamala Harris is not running for president, or not running for governor of the state of California. I'm assuming she's eyeing the 2028 nomination, which, by the way, the polling, I'm trying to remember off the top of my head. You're like, Tom, how can you remember these things? Because I'm a loser. That's why. Gavin Newsom is leading, as Aaron and I predicted, and that would have been. If it wasn't for DEI, that's who would have run against Trump in 2024. Yeah. Gavin Newsom's leading the polls at 20%. I'm trying to remember who is second. Pete Buttigieg is at 9%. And Kamala is tied at like fifth place at 4%. So that's I'm trying to remember who was in second place. Oh, AOC. AOC at 15%.
Oh my gosh.
Seriously. So that, yeah, serious. Brent's like, serious? Yeah, serious. That's who's running the Democratic Party right now. That's what it means to be a Democrat in 2024. All right, let's go to the big story of the day, the whole jobs revision thing. Some of you have already seen this ad nauseum, but in case you haven't, I'm going to cover it. Let's go to the first one. Libs of TikTok tweet. Breaking, President Trump announced, and don't worry, I'm going to read that True Social post to you. That's actually part of the slide. President Trump announced that he's ordered the firing of, I'm going to try this name, Erica McEntarfer, something like that. We'll just call her Erica. A Biden appointee at the Bureau of Labor Statistics who reportedly faked the job numbers before the election. Go to the next one for me. So there it is. Now, we know what happened with these, and I'm going to get to the specific numbers. But anyway, here's what Trump said. I was just informed that our country's jobs numbers, which you've heard me rave about over the last several months, weren't wrong on April, but allegedly the May, June numbers, the July numbers haven't come in yet, obviously. The May, June numbers have been severely revised down by basically 80%. Which is the same stuff she pulled for the Biden administration, but at a different strategic point. I was just informed that our country's job numbers are being produced by a Biden appointee doctor. Of course, it's doctor. I wonder what that doctorate's in. Dr. Erica McEntifer, the commissioner of labor statistics, who faked the job numbers before the election to try and boost Kamala Harris's chances of victory. This is the same Bureau of Labor Statistics that overstated the job growth in March of 2024 by approximately 800, only a mere, they only missed it by 818,000 in 1 year. I mean, nah. That's nothing. Yeah. I mean, that's not, I mean, Belgium does it. I mean, it really, I mean, doesn't really matter. It's 818,000. In just 1 year, that's March of 2023. To March of 2024. That's 1 year. They missed it by 818,000.
Totally normal.
That's this woman by Dr. Erica. It's totally normal. Yeah. The rest of us would be in federal prison. But for the rest of them, it's fine. You know, it doesn't matter. And then again, right before the 2024 presidential election in August, September, by 112,000. So basically saying that there was 112,000 jobs that weren't right before the election. These were records. No one can be that wrong. We need accurate job numbers. I've directed my team to fire this Biden political appointee immediately. She will be replaced with someone much more competent and qualified. Important numbers like this must be fair and accurate. They can't be manipulated by political purposes. For political purposes, McEntarfer said there were only 73,000 jobs added. A shock, but more importantly, that a major mistake was made by them, 258,000 jobs downward in the prior 2 months. Similar things happened in the first part of the year, always to the negative. The economy is booming under Trump, despite a Fed that is also playing games. Also, another really political appointee, Jerome Powell, this time with interest rates, where they lowered them twice and substantially just before the presidential election. So during mass inflation, you're never supposed to lower the interest rates, but Jerome Powell does right before the election try to get Kamala elected. And now that we're having very low sub 2% interest, way low to like 1.1% inflation right now, he doesn't lower interest rates, which is absolutely unheard of. And whenever our inflation goes down, the world's inflation goes down, and everybody else's form of the Fed has lowered interest rates other than Jerome Powell because he's anti-Trump. All these people are supposed to be apolitical. And you and I are supposed to believe that as soon as they assume office, they drop all the political bias at the door. Yeah. I assume in the hopes of getting Kamala elected. How did that work out? Jerome, too late, pal. Should also be put out to pasture. Thank you for your attention to this matter. Go right to the next one for me. Here's the Kabisi letter. This is insane. Here's the actual numbers. This is what you actually have to believe, is that Erica actually somehow cannot calculate this. Reminds me of the COVID numbers. Somewhere between. Here's what all the experts that all the Christians listen to, that all the churches closed for, that all the churches masked for, that all the churches vaccinated for, and all the conservatives did too, except for you red pill people that are watching. These are the same experts, these alleged experts that people still, to this day, and everybody's starting to forget, Christians are starting to wander back to their disgusting, lukewarm, bent-over, butt-cheek-spreading churches, wandering back to those who will lick their boots and kiss their rear ends again. Fantastic. And then becoming vulnerable to the next great delusion. These same people, COVID numbers. The experts, this is from the World Health Organization. We have tabulated the following statistical data that somewhere between 5 million and 18 million people died of COVID. That's the best they could do.
Oh.
So this is a variable, Aaron, of 13 million. Belgium does it. I mean, it doesn't really matter.
13 million.
give or take 13 million. Yeah, you and I would be in federal prison. if you and I ran a business and we made 27 million, we owed 13 million in taxes. We paid none. Well, we just missed it. I just missed it by 13 million.
Whoopsie.
I mean, it's my mistake. You make the same mistakes.
Yeah, yeah.
But we go to federal prison for the rest of our lives. So here it is. So this is insane. We must have received, I think is what it's supposed to be. So massive downward jobs revisions. May jobs report was revised down 125,000 jobs. How do you miss that? Remember, these are jobs that people are reporting to you that were created. How does that become not created in 1 month? I mean, just explain to me. I would just love for this woman to explain to us how you miss it by 125,000. I understand 3,000-4,000. Maybe. I don't even know how you do that. These are jobs. I mean, how hard is this? You go around and you get data in from companies that says we have created these jobs. That's it. The companies haven't revised down their data. You have. So how does this work? Exactly. This is like a Dominion voting machine. How exactly does this work? I mean, we've seen these Dominion voting machines where they add and subtract votes according to some sort of analytical data in the inside of the machine, some sort of algorithmic data inside the machine. Well, if it's coming in this trend, then this will be what they actually, how about you just count the frickin' votes?
Yeah.
And now what is this about? You were told that there was 144,000 jobs added in the month of May. You were given that data by private companies. By the citizenry, how does it get revised down then when the companies didn't revise it down? But it's been revised down from just a mere, she said 144,000 jobs. Now it's 19,000. I mean, how exactly does that happen?
Come on.
June's, yeah, I know. is this even real? It's not real. You leave this up. I believe this is what happened. She's playing games here. And what she wanted to do was show a steep decline in jobs after the tariffs kicked in. So she put out a good jobs report in May, June, prior to the tariffs kicking in, so that there would be a job drop off in August, September. That's what she's trying to pull off. And she did exactly the opposite for Biden and for Kamala. She's here, you know, I'm going to add jobs when it's strategically, politically expedient for them to have these jobs added. That's what she did. So she did. She retracted jobs once she saw that the tariffs weren't hurting the economy at all. And matter of fact, the price of goods coming overseas now, even with the additional tariffs, have gone down. Because everybody's scared of Trump and they're all eating the tariffs themselves. Strange how that works, isn't it? Strange how we ended up with an income tax the same year that they formed the Fed. So I'm adding this to my whole 1913 scourge year statistics. Yeah. It's created the Fed, the FBI, and income tax all in 1913. Whenever there is a central bank created, there is an income. I got that from the Tucker Carlson interview. Whenever there is a central bank running, and by the way, every country that doesn't get run by the central bank gets bombed. That's strange, isn't it? I mean, that's Russia, Iran. Uh-huh. That's strange, isn't it? And the country that's run by CBDC currency via a central bank would be Ukraine. That's weird, isn't it? I mean, it couldn't be that the love of money is the root of all evil.
No.
That can't be, even though the Bible says it, right? That can't be. I mean, it's just very strange, isn't it? But anyway, back to the numbers. So June jobs report was revised down she only missed it by 133,000. I mean, these are some great governmental experts right here that come up with all the statistical data, isn't it? These are the experts right here. So it went from 147,000 jobs in June that were added to 14,000. That's 258,000 jobs that just vanished from the data in 2 months. Explain to me how that happened. Erica did it. That's how it happened. So it's fake. We don't know how many jobs we have. How would we ever know? Because it's coming from the Bureau of Labor and Statistics, the BLS. They should just leave the L out of it because that's what they are. So, I mean, it is. They're the BLS. They just make it up. And they do it to benefit or to hurt their own, the candidate they support or the candidate that they are against. All right, where the heck am I? All right, go to the next one for me, wherever I'm at. Switch the subjects now. Project Constitution. Good news now. And by the way, I believe Trump still added hundreds of thousands of jobs. I believe that she, Erica, is lying. So here's some good news. Breaking Constitution, Project Constitution tweet, breaking CCB, I had no idea what that was, but that is a Corporation for Public Broadcasting, is shutting down operations. So we're no longer going to have the CCB for the Democrats to use as a Goebbels propagandist network. Isn't that great? I think it's great. Great news. PBS is done. NPR is done. And now the CCB is done. This is great. Trump is doing great. He is. Shutting down operations after federal funding cut. Another win for the Trump administration. Doge is reaping its ugly head. The Senate, which is a beautiful head, Then they, and Doge is coming back to life now. We're seeing some Doge stuff pop up, and we'll get to that in just a second. The Senate Appropriations Committee just released its fiscal year 2026 budget, and for the first time in over 50 years, oh, how are we ever going to get by without the CCB that nobody ever watches? It's simply a propagandist network for the Democratic Party. How are we ever another NGO? It's all that it is, that you and I have sunk billions and billions of the $37 trillion worth of debt that we're in. It excludes funding for the CPB. Translation, no more taxpayer dollars for NPR and PBS. Another major step for the Trump administration towards shrinking the bloated government and cutting media bias at its root. Fantastic. Go to the next one. Another Project Constitution video breaking: DOJ launches national voter roll investigation. Play for me.
Trump administration looking to boost election integrity as the DOJ opens a nationwide investigation into voter rolls. The department is calling on local officials to identify felons, dead voters, and also non-citizens who might have cast a ballot. David Spunt is live from Washington with more on this one. Hi, David.
Hi, Aisha. Good morning. Today, next week, the week after, and so on, DOJ officials will continue to work on what they call the department a serious problem with our voter rolls. This all stems from a March executive order signed by President Trump, which states in part, the attorney general shall, consistent with applicable laws, coordinate with state attorneys general to assist with state level review and prosecution of aliens unlawfully registered to vote or casting votes. Attorney General Pam Bondi has directed her team to check counties across the United States. But California is a big focus, as is Texas and Minnesota. The DOJ plans to prosecute any foreign nationals that get caught voting. A DOJ source tells Fox News election integrity starts with clean voter rolls. That's the foundation for secure elections. There's been a culture of noncompliance from several states that don't keep their rolls updated. This DOJ is cracking down. Now, the Justice Department wants local officials to identify and remove felons, dead voters, non-residents, and non-citizens from voter rolls. Recently, the department charged an Iraqi man for illegal voting in 2020 in the state of New York. Took several years to catch that one. Last year, a 19-year-old Chinese national was charged in Michigan with perjury and attempting to vote illegally in the 2024 election. Now, Aisha, the Department of Government Efficiency, DOGE, took a big hand in stopping illegal voting. Even though Elon Musk no longer with that agency, DOGE itself still has a hand in this movement. Finding illegal voters will take time, but the Justice Department is in regular contact with the White House about the latest progress fulfilling this executive order. Aisha.
Okay, David Spunt, live for us. Thanks, David.
Hey, everyone. I'm Emily Campagno. Catch me.
All right, there we go. Sorry about that. Got me with my cough drop in my mouth. Anyway, so again, what you have to ask with these questions is, why would you not want a clean voter roll?
Right.
I mean, why is it, again, why is this even a discussion? Why do you have to have a discussion about keeping men out of women's restrooms? Why is that a discussion? Why is it a discussion of whether you're male or female? Why is that even a discussion? Why is it a discussion to whether as to whether or not to clean out your voter rolls? Why is that a discussion? Should you clean out, should your voter rolls be clean of the following: felons who can't vote, dead voters who obviously can't vote, which, by the way, in the 2020 election, 19,000 dead voters voted in the state of Michigan alone. Dead voters, non-citizens, which, of course, Dana Nessel, Gretchen Whitmer, don't want to clean out their voter rolls. Isn't that strange? And then, of course, they had their voter. They had a very obvious election fraud operation going on in their state, which was passed on. They started an investigation, passed on to the FBI, the FBI passed on to them, and then nothing ever happened. Strange, isn't it? But anyway, so why would you not want to clean out your voter rolls? What could possibly be a good explanation, a viable explanation? I would just love to hear it. What is your viable explanation for not cleaning out your voter rolls? What is your viable explanation for not wanting voter ID? Because the only reason to not want voter ID is so that there can be cheating. There is no other explanation. That would be akin to if you're sitting around and you're playing poker, there being absolutely no security. And not, why would you want no security? So the people on the table can cheat. There's no other reason. There's absolutely no other explanation. I would love a viable explanation of why you don't want to clean out your voter rolls. Why you don't want signature verification for your ballots. Why is that exactly? Why is it that you don't want to clean out your voter rolls of felons, dead voters, non-citizens, and non-residents? Why would that be? Give me a reasonable explanation if you're a Democrat. You can't, and that's what it means to be a Democrat in 2025. Taking absolutely nonsensical, unexplainable stances. And the only explanation is that you want to cheat. That's what it means to be a Democrat in 2025. We're simply saying, you know what? We want the dead Republicans removed too. See how we're on, if you're a Democrat and you're watching this right now, don't you see how we're on the right side?
Yeah.
We want dead, we want felons who are Republicans removed, dead voters who are Republicans removed, non-citizens who are Republicans removed, non-residents who are Republicans removed. If a Republican doesn't have a voter ID, they don't get the vote. If a Republican has no signature verification, they don't get the vote. How's that? Can you say that? Then you are corrupt. If you can't say that, then you are, in fact, corrupt. And you have to be honest with yourself and at least admit it. Yeah, I'm corrupt. Just admit it. You are corrupt. You are what wrestling would call a heel. You're the bad guy. You are corrupt. And say it to yourself, I'm corrupt. Get up in the morning, look at your wife in the eye, look at your kids in the eye, say, listen, kids, I lie for a living. I'm corrupt. That's who I am. Because there's no explanation for this. Well, I'm doing it for the greater good so that Democrats will be elected. So corruption is for the greater good. You think corruption will lead to the greater good? That's what you honestly believe? All right, let's look at this. Speaking of like all these job numbers and Trump economy, things like that, here's three videos that just show you exactly how the Trump economy is truly going in comparison to what all the Democratic Party pundit, Goebbels, propagandists on CNN and all the other liberal outlets were saying in comparison to actual reality. Big Fish video, GDP plus 3.0. Play for me.
This is what the media said was going to happen on the Trump tariffs.
You can't undo the damage. The Trump slump is upon us now.
We're in a car driven by somebody who is blackout drunk. And it's like one of those bad Bugs Bunny cartoons. It's Looney Tunes.
This is not Liberation Day in America. It's Recession Day.
The greatest man-made economic crisis in modern presidential history, and paralyze American businesses, large and small, forcing them to lay off people, to stop hiring or pause investment decisions.
It feels like there's an expression in tech called chaos monkey. Well, this particular chaos monkey is throwing feces all over the planet, essentially, and saying, enjoy. So, I don't.
Kara Swisher, who knows nothing. So you saw top Dems, top media pundits saying it's doom and gloom. It's economic catastrophe coming our way. You could expand that. There was like, the shelves are going to be empty. We're not going to have goods anymore. He's going to devastate American farms.
Early reviews are in on the new trade deal announced with the European Union. The Financial Times says the deal marks a victory for Trump.
Is this a fantastic deal then struck by Donald Trump?
Absolutely a victory on behalf of the Trump administration.
Isabel, the bottom line is this is the biggest trade deal in President Trump's effort to effectively reshape the global trading order.
On this deal, the European Union, this is a big win for the U.S.,
The bigger picture is that Trump is still very much pursuing his longer-term goal of achieving what he perceives to be fairness for America.
It's a triumph of a lot of things. Certainly, the president ought to take a victory lap. I think it ends up being good for the European Union. It's a blow against the conventional wisdom.
What you see happening today is so far we're on a similar path where there's, again, no noticeable increase in inflation as a result of these tariffs. And in fact, not only that, but we put out a report a few weeks ago about how imported goods were actually getting cheaper relative to domestically produced goods.
So there's no argument. Trump's killing it on the economy. They can't eat. Listen, they'll lie all that they can until they get to the point where they think that they are going to lose all credibility. Then they will finally tell the truth. Another kind of big story out right now is the whole Chris Cuomo turnaround. Anybody believes that, you're crazy. Do you believe Fredo, you're crazy. You believe him, you're crazy. He's come out and said, you notice what Chrissy does. I should have actually brought the video. I should have played the video, but Chrissy comes out and says, he's driving, stuck in traffic in NYC. So he's sitting there talking, I was wrong. I've been wrong. But notice, and he never says what he was wrong about. He just gives the classic leftist generalized deflection, vast generalities, the vast generalities that they operate in. Trump's going to destroy democracy. What does that mean? Explain to us what exactly that means. That Trump's going to destroy it. What does that mean? Tell us how he's going to destroy democracy. Trump's a racist. How is he a racist? Tell us exactly how it is that he's a racist. I mean, I would just love to hear these things. But anyway, so what Christie comes out and says is that I was wrong. Now, remember, this is the guy who pimped and hoard vaccines, pimped and hoard vaccine mandates, pimped and hoard masks, pimped and hoard mask mandates, pimped and hoard closures, pimped and hoard quarantines, pimped and hoard social distancing, pimped and hoard lockdowns. All those different things for years, said that the vaccinated were the problem, that the hospitals were being overrun by the vaccinated, that by the unvaccinated, which is all not true. Not one bit of it was true. So anyway, this is that guy. But now he's saying that he was wrong. But what he does, he uses generalities. I've been wrong about relationships. And, you know, I've been wrong. I'm trying to remember his different thing. I've been wrong about politics. I've been wrong about politicians. You know, I've been wrong about the weather. That's what he does. So what it gives them is plausible deniability when we actually, because if you've ever noticed, whenever he actually gets challenged to his face, like with Dave Smith challenged him about how Chris Cuomo is now on ivermectin to help him with his vaccine infirmity. Amazing. But even when he was asked about that, he did the Potomac two-step. He did the classic deflection. Dave Smith's asked him, I can't remember what format it was. But anyway, he says, will you now basically admit that you were wrong about ivermectin? And Cuomo says, I wasn't wrong. What I said was that ivermectin should never be advertised as a standalone to cure COVID. Nobody ever said that it was. And he got jumped on by Dave Smith. Said that's not, first of all, none of us have ever said that. And now you're just trying to, it's the same thing they're doing with Trump right now. Are you, we're espousing there was no Trump collusion with Russia. So you're saying Russia didn't try to interfere in the election? That's not what we said. We said there's no collusion with Donald Trump and Russia. So that's the same, and that's what he wants, that's what Chris Cuomo wants to be able to do, is to deflect. So when he's finally asked, hey, Chris, specifically, what were you wrong about? He's going to say, I said I was wrong. Are you saying that I said it? Are you saying that I didn't say that I was wrong? No, we're asking you, Chris, specifically, what were you wrong about? Were you wrong about the vaccines? Were you wrong about masking, as he was caught in mask hypocrisy like many other Democrats? He was nearly kicked out of his building because he was refusing to wear a mask on the elevator while on air, basically saying that you and I should be arrested for not wearing a mask. That's who this man is. And I never want to ever say that people are beyond redemption or beyond repentance, but he's not doing this in Jesus' name. If he had actually come out and like legitimately got saved at like a Jonathan Shuttlesworth or a Rodney Howard Brown revival or something along those lines, then that's one thing. I saw him like a Sean Foyt concert raising his hands and worshiping Jesus. That's one thing. But he's not doing that. He's just giving vast generalities about how he was wrong to ingratiate himself because, as Alex Jones says, he's got his finger on the pulse of the culture. And he's trying to ride the correct wave to get maximum viewership. That's all that he's trying to do. Where you and I never change. You and I never change. We are what we are. We stand in principle. These people have no principle. You've heard me say this. They are principleless charlatans. They are soulless wanderers. They have no soul. They have no principles. Whatever they think will give them more views, they will say, no matter whether it's left or right. That's who these people are. So I didn't mean to get all into that, but that's just another big story. But anyway, go to the next one for me. Nick Shorter tweet just in, President Trump sent a strong warning to the UK Prime Minister, and everybody needs to understand exactly what's happening globally right now. France is trying to completely and totally ban you and I from having any speech rights in their country. Brazil, through its Supreme Court Justice Morales, or something, it's M-O-R-A-E-S, he was the one who tried to confiscate part of what's Elon Musk's satellite? Satellite dish company? What the heck? I have it. Starlink. He tried to confiscate part of Starlink.
Morales.
Yeah. I don't think it's got an L on it, but check it, Aaron. Make sure. I don't think it may. I don't remember, but I think you're probably, it can't be what I'm saying. It has to be. You have to be right, but just double check it. But anyway, so that you need to understand that's what's going on there. Lula and Morales. Aaron says Morales. I'm going to go with Aaron for now.
Oh, you're right. You're right.
Oh, there's no L, is there?
No.
Yeah, so it's like Morales, Morales, or something like that.
Yeah.
We'll just call it Morales.
Yeah.
So Morales down there with Lula are trying to confiscate Starlink. Understand that this is not in Australia banned Candace Owens. She had to go to the Supreme Court to get to be, you know, reallowed on these platforms. By the way, I don't think you're ever back on.
Yeah.
I mean, I have 30,000 followers on Facebook between me and the church, and I have nobody watching right now. Yeah. Nobody watching on Facebook right now. In our second podcast ever, we had 900 people watching on Facebook alone. That's when we were only on Facebook once a week. We had 900 people watching.
Yeah.
And now I don't think you ever get back. I don't think I'm back on Twitter. Like, I mean, I've been banned from Twitter, and I can't get any traction on Twitter whatsoever. Nothing. No matter what. I think I've got 6,500 plus, I think it is, followers on Twitter. I can't get any traction. I get nobody to watch my stuff. Nothing. I don't think you ever actually get back in their good graces. And I don't want to be. Screw all those people. Screw Zuckerberg. Well, here's the problem, though, is that as you're sitting there and you're saying that, Zuckerberg just gets bigger and bigger.
Yep.
I mean, he does. Just keeps getting bigger and bigger. You want to say, like, screw Tube, and I can't stand them and whatever. But YouTube just gets bigger and bigger. They signed the NFL 2 years, 3 years ago. So, I mean, it is what it is. That's why I thank God for Rumble. I mean, thank goodness there is a Rumble. Otherwise, I mean, we had nothing. I mean, it was over for us. We went from, you know, 900 people, Facebook alone, to basically 100 people watching, and we switched over to Rumble and just started over again.
Yep.
So you never actually get, I'm just saying all this because if you're under the illusion that there is free speech, there isn't. We're being banned everywhere. And Donald Trump is putting a precondition out to these politicians that if you want Americans' goods and services, or you want to trade with us, you want to export your goods and services to the United States of America, you're going to have to take the chains off of speech. Because again, in the UK, this is not hyperbole, folks. It is not. The rapist gets 6 months deferred detention in the UK. And the person who says correctly that they're a Pakistani rapist gets 3 years in prison. That's a fact. All because speech is a more serious crime there than forcible rape. That's a fact. Because they don't care if anybody gets raped. Because like Keir Starmer, he was in charge of their CPS it was over a decade. And covered up all the Pakistani Muslim rapes that were going on there. Covered them up for years. So for him, rapes don't matter. I think it might matter to him if he was bent over and got raped. But, you know, unless that happens, it doesn't matter. Unless it's his own kids, but he lives behind guns and behind walls that UK citizens aren't allowed to have. And that's what the Democrats want for us to have also. No guns, no walls. But all the while, they themselves, like Oprah Winfrey, recently with the tsunamis in Maui, you had the giant earthquake off the coast of Russia that possibly caused tsunamis. She refused to open up her driveway, it's like when you have to like at different times share driveways or whatever. But anyway, she refused to open it, her driveway, which would have helped everybody to evacuate to higher ground. You know, I thought she cared about people. I thought that was the whole, I thought to be a Democrat was to be compassionate. No, she didn't care when Maui burned to the ground. Didn't care. Didn't remember her in The Rock and he got crucified for it, coming trying to raise money. Did they give millions? No. They tried to raise millions. Why don't they give millions? She's worth $1 billion or more. She, remember, $1 billion is 1,000 millions and she couldn't give 500,000. Nothing. I mean, that's who these demons actually are. So we're being banned. Our speech is being banned globally. France, UK, banned, all right? So Trump is saying, he gives strong warning to the UK Prime Minister Keir Starmer after he began a mass censorship campaign per the Telegraph. Stop threatening US tech companies and free speech. Now you don't have to worry about Zuckerberg because Zuckerberg can't wait to bend over and spread his butt cheeks. He wants to be violated. He likes it. I mean, Zuckerberg is one of these guys. He actually wants to be violated. He wants to do his part to usher in the mark of the beast. Starmer's UK has been attempting to intimidate US platforms into censoring their users. Now, Starmer has said, because remember, Starmer also wants to make sure that he covers up for his own criminality. because he has covered, I'm talking about, he's covered up the rapes of 12-year-old girls.
Yeah.
For decades. That's who this ugly person is. This little demon, this repulsive human being, who looks like the ultimate conservative Tory, and he's not. He's a disgusting human being. That's who he is, who knew that little girls have been raped by Muslim immigrants and did absolutely nothing about it because he didn't want to be called Islamophobic. And the reason why he didn't want to be called Islamophobic is because then he couldn't climb the political ladder. Go to the next one for me. Interesting video from Antonio Tweets. An American woman is shocked when she realizes content in Canada is blocked. Play for me.
As a visitor here in Canada, I go on my Facebook page and guess what I see in my scroll? Content not allowed in Canada. Blocked. Content not allowed in Canada. Blocked. Over and over and over again. What is happening to the freedom here in Canada? What is going on? Why are the people putting up with this?
Well, we're really nice and polite in Canada. I see a lot of conservatives who don't want to speak up. Like, we're so afraid now because it's happened for so long that we're afraid that we'll be discriminated against, we'll lose our jobs, and a lot of people actually have because they've spoken up against this. There's so many people that have had to move to the States because they spoke.
So she's on there, content not available, content not available. That's really happening in the world. I mean, again, many Christians, I'm not talking to the people that are watching this podcast, unless this does apply to you, which I doubt that it does. But Christians think that end times prophecy is Alex Jones' conspiracy theory. Christians think it.
Yeah.
They honestly do. They honestly believe that. Everything that you're seeing right now, everything, including things that Trump is unwittingly ushering in, is ushering us towards the mark of the beast. I mean, whether it's AI, it's all about, you know, I haven't said it for a long time, leveraging you into a one world commerce system, singular access point to all commerce controlled by people like Keir Starmer. That is the purpose of all of it. And allowing free speech will illuminate that plan so they cannot allow it. That's the point. These are pawns, or these are actually demonic human beings. That's who they are. And we need to understand that. And Christians need to stop thinking that the book of Revelation, and by the way, Alex Jones is right 98% of the time, but they need to stop thinking that that is QAnon.
Right.
The book of Revelation is not QAnon. The book of Revelation is happening and is going to happen. We're in the beginnings of sorrows right now. So you need to understand that, and everything in the book of Revelation will come to pass. And you and I are supposed to be the 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 3 through 8, great restraining. I put the word great on it. But we're supposed to be the restraining. You and I are. Not a bunch of denialists. Oh, that's just, I believe that being a Christian just means being your best person every day and to be as nice as possible to everybody. That's not what being a Christian is. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. That's Christianity. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. That's Christianity. Look, whether it's Ephesians chapter 6, 10 through 18, whether it's 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 3 through 6. No, it's spiritual warfare, and you need to take up your spiritual weapon. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and taking into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 3 through 6. That's where we're supposed to be. Not, I believe, whenever a Christian says, I believe, discount everything they say after those two words.
Yep.
Because it should be what Jesus did, for it is written. That's what it should be. Notice, I didn't quote my philosophy. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. That's an actuality, what Christianity is. Not, you know what, I believe that I'm supposed to just exude kindness 24/7 and, you know, just be the best I can be and reach my maximum potential. And God is a dream fulfiller. No, that's not Christianity. Christianity is turn or burn. Turn from your sins. Give your life wholeheartedly and a living sacrifice over to Jesus as a soldier. Lord, here am I, send me. That's Christianity, not what you determine it to be. And I see a lot of conservatives right now claiming Christianity who are hellbound. Claiming Christianity. I saw a very, very popular host recently. Claiming Christianity, claiming to be guided by the Holy Ghost. And then shows basically nude pictures of Melania Trump. And talks about, well, just okay, it's okay basically to lust after women. Is because this is heterosexual. No, God's determinant about whether you go to heaven and hell is not whether you're heterosexually lusting or homosexually lusting. It's, are you lusting?
Right.
So you can swig your Bud Light and wave your American flag and lust and go straight to hell, even though you voted for Donald Trump. I mean, people need to understand that. That just cost me viewers, but I'm not here for that. I'm not a clickbait whore. So, I mean, if I was a clickbait whore, man, we'd be 25,000 live watching us on Facebook right now.
Yeah.
When you have 900, your second podcast ever, I mean, you're going to have a lot of viewers, and we don't. I mean, what do we got watching right now, Aaron? Legitimate views.
Like 1,500. Yeah,
1,500. People are like, why do you have 3,500? Because we buy views so we go up on the algorithm so that we can compete.
Yeah.
I'm not going to ever lie to you. But that's not legit. We buy views so that because Rumble changed their first page algorithms to screw small podcasts. Not to screw us on purpose, I don't think. But they screwed small podcasts. So now you can't get on the first, you can't compete.
Yeah.
And get on the front page. They changed the rules. It's like everybody changed the rules. So when you see it, whether it's here, we have legitimate views, which I'll always tell you what they are. You want to know? Send us it on there. I'll tell you what we have. So we have like 1,500 watching right now.
Yep.
Which is great. And I appreciate that. But it, you know, going back to the original, you know, point of what I was saying, it is not free speech. It's not free speech in the United States of America. They should right now, Facebook and Instagram, maybe even Twitter. But I mean, Linda Yaccarino has resigned, which is a great thing off of Twitter. Elon needs to like do a factory reset of their algorithm so that we actually have free speech on there, because there's no way that I get 2 likes when I have 6,600 followers. I mean, it doesn't work when I, you know, it was just not free speech. All right, change the subjects. Let's talk about that stuff all night. But anyway, Publius tweet. This is interesting. Breaking, an official FEC, Federal Election Commission, complaint has been filed against Senator John Thune for allegedly smurfing 1.14 million splitting funds into 10,000 deposits. Sounds like ActBlue.
Yeah.
Using 714 stolen senior IDs using WinRed's platform. I thought that there was, you know, Slava Ukraine, good guys, and, you know, Russia bad, Ukraine good. I mean, Republican good, Democrat bad. No, they're all bad. I mean, I'm a Republican. I've always been a Republican. I may always be a Republican. I don't know. Republican platform, very good. Republicans, horrible. Horrible. And he's one of them right here. 49% of the time he votes with Chuck Schumer. And we all know what was going on with ActBlue. And now John Thune's being investigated, innocent until proven guilty. By the way, these are crimes. Okay, these are actual crimes. Donald Trump's 34 felony convictions of things that he didn't do were basically FEC crimes that Alvin Bragg was not allowed to prosecute, for somehow he's allowed to prosecute because some judge, Juan Merchan, says that he can't. While his daughter profits off the trial. But anyway, so basically what they're doing in ActBlue is they have $5 million given, let's say. I'm not going to get the numbers right. I'm going to calculate in front of me. But $5 million is given, and they spread that out to 10,000. I'm just forget the $5 million. They have 10,000 supporters, people who give donations. So they have 10,000 people who donate, let's say, $100,000, 10,000 people. And then they have people that donated 5,000 times. So they try to spread out these single giant, large sum donations. They try to spread them out into multiple donors. And Thune's being investigated for doing the exact same thing. The only problem is, as I always say, these people are zealous, but they're not smart. And they've been caught. It was by James O'Keefe. They're going up to these people's doors. Did you give 314 times last year to these are all accurate. I'm actually being soft on the numbers. Mm-hmm. They go up to an old lady in Scranton, Pennsylvania, and say, Mrs. Smith, did you actually give 517 times to the Biden for President campaign last year? No, I gave one donation 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Because what happened was, is illegal campaign donations coming in from overseas were given in a giant sum that then had to be laundered through multiple donors. And the problem is that there's so much money and there's only so much an individual can donate that they end up having to use the same name 500 times. Or they're just stupid and use it 500 times. Or they don't have adequate tech and use it 500 times. You ever watch some of these people and some of these podcasts? I mean, they have like a multi-million dollar budget. Aaron and I have, a $20,000 budget. And they can't even do what we do. They're just technologically illiterate people.
Yeah.
I mean, you can hide. If you're given $1 million, you can hide that. You don't have to have, Jim Smith, in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, gave 1,300 donations of $12. There's other ways to do it if you're going to commit a crime, but these people are not smart. And now that's called smurfing, by the way. And now Thune is being looked into for doing the exact same thing. Go to the next one for me. So here's what Donald Trump is saying about Jerome Powell right now. It needs to be replaced. Because Jay Powell and the Fed failed to stop the problem they created with inflation, I will do it by unleashing American energy production, slashing regulation, rebalancing international trade, and reigniting American manufacturing. But I will do much more than stopping inflation. I will make our country financially and otherwise powerful again. The Fed has done a terrible job on bank regulation. Treasury is going to lead the effort to cut unnecessary regulations and will unleash lending for all American people and businesses. If the Fed has spent less time on DEI, gender ideology, green energy, and fake climate change, inflation would never have been a problem. Instead, we suffer from the worst inflation in the history of our country. He's trying to get rid of Powell, but Powell refuses to lower interest rates. Let's look at this. Go to the next one for me. Nick Sorter tweet. Just in, going back to the collusion hoax here for a minute. Just in, Rep. Tim Burchett has formally requested George Soros and his crony, Leonard Bernardo, be dragged in front of Congress. Documents revealed yesterday suggest Soros Foundation was directly involved in creating the Russian collusion hoax because Leonard Bernardo was talking to Debbie Wasserman Schultz. And Leonard Bernardo was aware of Julianne Smith, which was Hillary's campaign assistant, creating the entire hoax. Apparently in collusion with Leonard Bernardo from the Soros Foundation. Go to the next one for me. Here's a little copy of the email that was sent from Leonard Bernardo, who is now basically running the Open Societies Foundation for George Soros right now. Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Good to see you.
Good to be seen.
HRC approved Julia's idea. Hillary Clinton. So Leonard Bernardo, who works for George Soros, is aware of what's going on in the Clinton campaign, has approved and knows Julia by her first name. Hillary Rodham Clinton approved Julia's idea about Trump and Russian hackers hampering U.S. election. Julia's idea. So there was never, I know all of you have seen this, and I don't want to say the same stuff over and over again, but it's just unbelievable. Here you have it. Hillary Clinton created the idea that Trump colluded with Russia. Brennan knew that she created it and conducted an investigation and created a false ICA. He knew it. Comey conducted a $40 million investigation. A special counsel was impaneled, all based on Julia's idea, Aaron.
Of course.
From Julia's idea. Hillary's campaign assistant, who we have no idea who she is. HRC has approved Julia's idea about Trump and Russian hackers hampering U.S. elections. This should distract people from her own missing email. Now we know the motive. Why is nobody in prison? Especially if the affair goes to the Olympic level, Hillary's missing emails. The point is making the Russian play a U.S. domestic issue. Say something like a critical infrastructure threat from the election to feel menace, since both POTUS and VPOTUS have acknowledged the fact. IC intelligence community would speed up searching for evidence that is regrettably still unavailable. What they're saying is make it sound as insidious and possible as possible to justify the justify the POTUS, Hussein Obama, and the V POTUS, Joe Biden. Make it sound as insidious as possible so it gives them validity in starting a bogus investigation.
Right.
Unbelievable. I mean, this is who these people are. America good, other people bad. No, America can be good. But it wasn't, certainly wasn't good during Hussein Obama's reign, Clinton's reign, George W. Bush's reign, certainly not Biden's reign, Herbert Walker's Bush's reign. Did a lot of criminality under Reagan's reign too, by the way. Decent under Trump's 17 reign, decent now. Certainly not white hat, good hat, white hat, black hat, folks. Get that out of your mind. It's either Christ, Antichrist, Prince of the Power of the Air, or the Holy Ghost. That's it. And Trump doesn't know that. That's why Trump is actually ushering in a lot of things that bring us closer to the mark of the beast. All of this AI, everything that you're seeing, he's consolidating medical records. If you don't have access to your medical records because they are no longer any hard copies, then you have to qualify to get them. Well, right now, there are no qualifications. Don't worry, Aaron. It's voluntary.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, right. Biometric ID in Australia, right? Leave this up for me. Biometric ID in Australia. That's why my son does short clips off of this, off the podcast, puts them out on Rumble. He hates it because I never stay on topic. I know. But right, biometric ID to get in Australia right now for you to get insurance, for you to be treated, for you to qualify to enter into the marketplace, whatever, into the commerce system. You have to have biometric ID voluntarily. It's just voluntary right now. It's voluntary.
For now.
Until every single company stipulates that you have to have it to do business with them. And then it's not so, but still voluntary. You could starve to death voluntarily, or you can get a biometric ID.
Yeah,
that's the point behind all of this. And Trump is doing it because here's the thing. This is my point: is you are either with the Holy Ghost or you are with the spirit of the Antichrist. You are either with Christ or with the Antichrist. And see, Trump, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Trump doesn't have that, so Trump vacillates back and forth because in a worldly sense, he's a good person, tries to do good for people, but he doesn't understand where the God versus devil line is. He doesn't get it.
Yep.
All right, so back to this. However, there seems to be signs, GRU penetration, blah, 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 blah. They appear hardly skilled, incompetent, bumbling idiots, the SMB, somebody called them. In absence of direct evidence, CrowdStrike, which did the investigation into the hacked DNC server. Why did CrowdStrike do the investigation into the hacked DNC server that to this day, Democrats say was hacked by Russia, that then gave that information to Julian Assange?
Assange. Yep.
Because they didn't want the FBI to do it. I mean, I don't know why the FBI was under their control, but there would be, they might get a righteous agent. But CrowdStrike, they could pay to put out the information that they actually wanted. And then, of course, you know, that's how Seth Rich ended up getting murdered too. Which I actually have a video on that I don't think I'm going to get time for. Maybe I'll rush to it. I don't know. But anyway. So anyway, there's that. So there's more on the clues. Go to the next one for me. Cloud Keeper, I think we're at the Clip Keeper video. On January 17th, so Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who's in communication with the Soros Foundation, ends up having to resign for cheating the election in favor of Hillary Clinton over Bernie Sanders. Here she is on January 17th, 2016, 3 days before, no, it's 2016. So it was a year before the year coming into the election. I don't know if this is 16. No, it's 17. I wrote it down wrong, 17. So it's 3 days before Trump takes office. Here she is on mainstream news, espousing that which she knows was created by the Clinton campaign. Play for me.
Do you believe Trump is a legitimate president?
What I believe is that there's no question that the outcome of this election was affected by the Russian interference with the campaign, and because our intelligence community has unequivocally stated that Russia's intent was to influence the outcome of the election in favor of Donald Trump, I believe, one, that the investigation that the United States Senate is going to do into the relationship and interaction potentially between the Trump campaign and Russian officials. That's essential.
Yeah.
But I think there's no question that the outcome of this election was affected by Russian interference with the campaign. No doubt.
Imagine being a human being like her. I mean, imagine it. You go on nationwide TV, and it's CNN, so probably 14 people are watching, but still, you're on nationwide TV that will live in infamy. It will always be recorded, always be replayed, it will always exist. And you are sitting there espousing that Donald Trump colluded with the Russians, was not a legitimately elected president, based on the lie that your campaign created. And you say it with such demonic conviction. And I'm not going to keep beating this dead horse. I just don't know how these people exist on a daily basis, knowing that you lie for a living. You live in lies. You have to lie to support the original lie, to support the next lie, to support the lie you just told. I don't know how people live like that. I honestly don't. All right, we're going to do a great jump here at the end, guys, because I want to show you this video. It's the Ryan Mata video. Brent and Aaron, Ryan Mata video, Seth Rich exposed. It's like probably, I mean, it's like 10 up from where we are. I mean, or more from where we are right now.
Ryan Mata, okay.
Yeah, found it?
Yep.
All right, I just want to show you this. Seth Rich exposed the Clintons' child trafficking network. He was killed for it. Play for me.
The death of a DNC staffer is stirring up national controversy as conflicting reports continue to pour in. Seth Rich was murdered last July, and so far police have made no arrest in the case and have no leads on a suspect. One American News believes solving this case and bringing Rich's murderer to justice is essential to exposing the truth for the American people. We are offering a $100,000 reward for any information that leads to the arrest of a suspect in this case. If you have any information, please write to our station. One America's Pearson Sharp takes a closer look at the case, revealing why the facts just aren't adding up.
The case of murdered DNC staffer Seth Rich is heating up. Fully 10 months later, questions are still popping up about the 27-year-old's mysterious death in a Washington, D.C. neighborhood last July. A recent report from an investigator brought the case to national attention once again, shedding new light on evidence that seems contradictory at best. Rod Wheeler, a private investigator hired by Seth Rich's family and a Fox News contributor, came forward claiming that he was pretty sure there was more to the case than what was being reported in the news. Rich was killed in the early hours of Sunday, July 10th, 2016, just one block from his Washington, D.C. home in Bloomingdale. According to reports, Rich's girlfriend heard scuffling noises on the other end of the line, and when she asked what was going on, Rich told her not to worry and hung up the phone. Authorities say Rich was shot twice in the back and had bruises on his hands, knees, and face. However, no DNA evidence has emerged from that apparent altercation. Police initially reported his death as a robbery gone wrong due to a high number of recent muggings and robberies in the area. However, police did admit that nothing was stolen from Rich, even though he had cash, a cell phone, and a watch on him at the time of his death. Before his death, Seth Rich was investigating several cases involving the DNC's electoral fraud and voter suppression, and was set to testify on the case of Hillary Clinton's email investigation. The content of Rich's scheduled testimony remains unclear, but it does raise questions about the scandal involving the DNC. Wheeler, the private investigator, says that he has a good reason to believe that Rich was in contact with WikiLeaks and provided the site with tens of thousands of secret emails from the DNC. According to Wheeler, he was in contact with a federal investigator who had personally laid eyes on Rich's laptop. An FBI forensic report made just 96 hours after Rich's death shows that he made contact with Gavin McFadyen, a director of WikiLeaks and a mentor to founder Julian Assange. The federal investigator, who requested to remain anonymous, said that sometime before May 21st, 2016, Rich transferred 44,053 emails and 17,761 attachments belonging to DNC leaders. Those emails were dated from January of 2015 all the way to late May of 2016. On July 22nd, just 12 days after Rich was killed, WikiLeaks published the exact same number of DNC emails that were allegedly given to them by Rich, showing conspiracy against Bernie Sanders and ultimately leading to Debbie Wasserman Schultz resigning as the DNC chairperson. Incidentally, Gavin McFadyen later died on October 22nd, 2016, just days before the presidential election. His cause of death was listed as lung cancer. Rod Wheeler says that he's convinced the answers to whoever is behind Rich's death are on his laptop. However, police say they don't know where the computer is, and the FBI says they don't have it. It was originally reported the FBI had conducted a forensic report of Rich's computer. However, the FBI is now claiming it's not their case, and they're referring all questions to the DC police. Speaking of the police, Wheeler has stated the D.C. department has been incredibly unhelpful, even saying that a source inside the department was told to stand down and back off the case. For now, police insist they believe Rich's death was a robbery gone wrong and have no evidence it was related to his job. However, they also have no evidence it was a robbery, either. Rich's murder in July followed another unusual death of a former U.N. president, John Ash. Authorities first reported Ash's death as a heart attack, but later recanted statements after an autopsy report showed he died due to a crushed windpipe. Ash died on June 22, 2016, just a few days before he was set to testify with his co-defendant, Ng Lap Sung, a Chinese businessman who illegally funneled millions of dollars to American businessman Charlie Tree, who then used that money to donate to the DNC during Bill Clinton's re-election. Charlie Tree was also rumored to be a Clinton Foundation donor during Bill Clinton's reign as president. Prosecutors accused Ash of accepting thousands of dollars in bribes from the Chinese businessman when he served as a UN president in 2013, the same year Hillary Clinton served as Secretary of State. According to a letter sent by more than 60 members of the House, the Clinton Foundation is a lawless, pay-to-play enterprise that has been operating under a cloak of philanthropy for years. Solving this case could reveal important clues into the 2016 election and how high up corruption at the DNC really went. DNC officials have long pushed the views that Russia was behind their email leak, but this latest information casts doubt on those claims. So far, One America News, WikiLeaks, the DC Metropolitan Police, and even a Republican lobbyist, Jack Berkman, have all put substantial money towards finding Seth Rich's killer, totaling $245,000. But up to this point, the DNC has never offered any reward for information to help solve the murder of their own staffer. Pearson Sharp.
All right, so there we go. I just had to show you. I don't want any of these things like Benghazi, Seth Rich, anything else. I don't want it to just, you know, be forgotten. I don't want to leave the mind of people. It's like I don't want COVID to leave the mind of people. I don't want to live in it forever. But we need to be reminded of these things. And just so you look at Seth Rich. So here's a guy who was investigating the DNC. He had a lot of evidence of this electoral fraud and voter suppression in favor of Hillary Clinton. It was all proven, and Debbie Wasserman Schultz had to resign because of it. And then Seth Rich dies, gets murdered on the streets. He was looking into all of those things that cost Debbie Wasserman Schultz her job. And then suddenly, I mean, the odds of being gunned down, especially, I mean, I know it's D.C., but where that was in D.C., the odds of being gunned down is like being struck by lightning. But yet, lo and behold, he was gunned down. And the police say there's no evidence that it was job related. But there's also no evidence it was robbery. Yeah. His watch was still on. His wallet was still there. Nothing was stolen except, guess, his laptop. That's strange, right? Because I'm assuming he had it with him. Then, so he was sending thousands and thousands of tens of thousands of emails to Julian Assange at WikiLeaks. And then, of course, the person he was sending the emails to, he's dead too. That's weird, isn't it? Julian Assange... I'm trying to remember who was. Was it Mike Pompeo? No, I don't know if it was. Yeah, I think it was. I think it was Mike Pompeo who tried to assassinate Julian Assange also. Yep. I think it was, according to Tucker Carlson.
Yep.
So that's weird. I mean, that's weird, isn't it? That's odd. Oh, I thought Mike Pompeo was Republican. He's not. He's a center leftist globalist. That's who he is. Like they all are in the Republican Party, with the exception of five or six people. That's it on Capitol Hill. You're like, Tom, your number keeps going down. I know. So there's no evidence that it was job related, but there's absolutely zero evidence that it wasn't. And there's zero evidence that it was a robbery, yet it's been categorized as a robbery. So then it's absolutely proven fact. He sent tens of thousands of data points, I don't know what you call them, data entries, emails, sent thousands of emails, sent thousands of files to WikiLinks. And those exact files were the ones that were put out by Julian Assange and WikiLinks that Hillary Clinton calls Russian espionage. Seth Rich's exact emails were the ones put out by WikiLeaks. And Hillary Clinton says that they were hacked by the Russians and the Russians gave them to Julian Assange. See how disgusting these people are? And the weird thing is, no one has the laptop except the FBI did a forensic audit on it. And now claims they don't have it. How does anybody... I mean, how does anybody have a job in the federal government? Then somebody who's going to testify against the Clintons, John Ash, dies of a heart attack. Until there was actually an autopsy done, and that heart attack turned into a crushed windpipe right before he was supposed to testify. So basically... Julian Assange was going to testify against the Clintons. He gets kicked out of the country. He leaves the country because he's running from fraudulent prosecution. Ends up I'm trying to remember what country it is, embassy for years. Now finally free after all this time. Mike Pompeo puts a hit out on the guy. That's what happens to him. Seth Rich ends up dead. The guy who Seth Rich sent the emails to, he ends up dead. Another guy that's going to testify against Clinton's, John Ash, dies of a heart attack until there's actually an autopsy and that heart attack turns into a crushed windpipe. That's what we're actually dealing with in this country right there. All right, 10:19, that's good. Friday night, make it a short show, 10:19. Make it a short show. Rumble Rants tonight. Nate Dad won $50. Thank you so much, Nate Dad. Dave Souders, $10. Thank you so much, Dave. Naz Yeager, $5. Thank you so much, Naz. Robin Aroni, $5. Thank you so much, Robin Aroni. Appreciate you guys so much in the rant. Don't forget about Foundation Church. Let's break our cyber attendance record, online record this Sunday. Let's break it. And wherever you live, join us at Foundation Church. If you want a church that acts like this podcast, preaches like this podcast, is unfettered and unchained like this podcast, unfiltered like this podcast, this is the church for you. Never closed, never will, never masked, never vaxxed, never social distance, nothing. Nothing, and never will. Join us this Sunday, 10 o'clock Eastern time. Love you guys in the rant. Love you guys in the chat. Stick around for the post game. If I don't see you on Sunday, I will see you Monday night at 9 o'clock. Love you all. God bless you.